This year is followed by a rapid review. After the rapid review, there is the same daf from the previous cycle of Daf Yomi with a different ambience and different participants, which may interest you as a chazara or maybe actually the one you prefer hearing. Today's daf is Daf Lamed Tet Mesechet Avodah Zarah, and we're holding right on the second line. So the next piece we had in the Mishnah is that the Tarif Terufa and Tzir She'in Badagah is considered to be osir, and then we spoke about the chilek. Now the chilek was, the difference is that the tirit, both of them attack the fish, the tirit is only if it's trufa, and the chilek is something that does not have to be trufa, a different min of fish that is osir even if it's not trufa. Why is that? So the my chilek, omr b'nachu barav omarav, it's the sultanit fish, and the reason that it's asura, b'pnei ma asura b'pnei she'irvuna ola ima. Because this fish, as we saw earlier, is a fish that only grows its scales and fins later in life, there's no way to identify it easily, and there are fish that are not kosher, which are therefore easily mixed with it, because they look the same at that early stage. And since the irvuv of it goes along with it in the nets, there's just no way to buy this stuff without having some kind of mixture in there. And therefore, they answered it because of the, even though it's obviously not a very high proportion, but they answered it because it's a full dog and it's not something that's going to be bought. So the Tanur Rabbanan, this is basically, if you have one, it's fine. But they answered the general sale of, it's like a type of herring that would, they would sell that. They answered because of the minim to me. Tanur Rabbanan, this course leads us to the following general rule, that in lo achshav yatid lo legadeli achersman, if a fish does not have the fins and the scales at the current time of its development, but as it matures, it grows, kigon asul tanit, and that's exactly what we were calling chilek before, and the afitz hareze mutar. Furthermore, if it has fins and scales now, v'yatid lo hashir b'sha'ar she'olem min hayam, and it's going to lose them when it's pulled out of the sea. Now, this is really actually fairly common, that fish that are in distress will actually lose their scales very easily and even their fins.
Is it a defense mechanism?
I think it's just the result of. It's very, very common in people who keep aquariums.
They think, I'll be trifed now.
Maybe that's it. You're going, akunas, vafunas, the kataspatias, the akaspatias, the years so often years atunas, it's a reference to the tuna, actually, according to which is the old tuna issues that everyone are always bringing up. I think the kingclip is part of this issue, which is the big scandal in South Africa. So all of these fish are mutter.
Yes, the tuna loses its scales when it's pulled up.
There are so many different types of tuna that there's a central tuna fish problem society that has been functioning for many, many decades, in which a number of people have this their center focus in life. Problems with tuna fish.
Tuna fish or tuna bites?
Mixtures and similarities, and this has become now a big thing because of the sugya. Achris Rabbi Avuhu beKesaria. Rabbi Avuhu was proclaimed in Kesaria that you could buy kirvei dagim v'ubran nikachim mikol adam. You could actually do not need a heksher. You can walk into any store to buy the fish innards that comes with the oil and caviar from anybody, because cheskatan enan ba'im ela mipalusa v'aspamia, there are no suppliers of this stuff except suppliers from Palusa and Aspamia, where all of the minim that they sell are always from kosher minim. So the caviar would be kosher. Kiyodi Amar Abaye, and Abaye also used the same idea, where a locale, because of the type of fish that were available in that locale, and the hakpada of the people, and what it was they were eating, did not require a heksher, even though in other places the same exact thing would have required a heksher. So haitzachanta the Bab Nahara. In Bab Nahara, which was the gateway to the sea, that was the opening to the Nahar Prat, the tzachanta, which are the chilek there, which normally are also because they're mixed with dagim tameim, tzachanta really means stench, but this stuff smells terrible, so they would call it, that's why they use the wine, they would often use the wine to get rid of the smell. So, my taima, why in the world would it be kosher there if the Mishnah says it's treif? Obviously, it's because Abaye was certain that in that locale there was no unkosher fish. Now, why would that be? Is it because the Radifei Maya, the water in that location has to make it through the straits. Because of that, it speeds up tremendously. And perhaps it's just too strong for the Dag Tameh that is the Irvuna of Achila, which is a Dag Tameh that does not, it's not a vertebrate. It looks like the chilak. But when you open it, it's actually more of a worm-like kind of thing. And therefore, it can't, since the let lechut ashidra, since it's not a vertebrate, it does not have the same ability to fight the current. And beduch the radifa mayalomatzikar, it's washed away by the current, and maybe that's why you don't have them in Bab Nahara. It's a nice theory, except for the very unfortunate fact that it's just not the case. We do see that these fish do perfectly well in high current areas. So that, like you say, you know, it's nice, but only for an armchair scientist. So maybe it's mishum de maliche maya, since over there you have mixing with seawater, and the daktane over here, give it a letle kalpe, since it does not have the protection of its scales. So beduchta de mal, maliche maya lo matzikoi. So perhaps it can't stand up against the increased osmotic pressure of the salt water. Also nice theory, except unfortunately, kachazina de koi. It happens to be that it's all nonsense. It does perfectly well in salt water. It must simply be mishum dolomar betina dag tameh. Look, it's nothing obvious. It's just that the conditions there of where it would lay its eggs in the bottom, it's just not a place where it could reproduce. So it's not a place where you'll find dagim tameim. What precisely environmental factors are, don't know. The bottom line, Abaye says, there just are never dagim tameim mixed with the chilak in that location. Ravina, but let's not apply this too easily. Because this is Bab Nahara, but I understand your closeness to the name.
Maintain the location.
I mean, Bob has got some very significant, you know, connections to Babel there. Bab Nahara. Baba Kama. He does babble a lot. So what would be today, says Ravina, today this is useless because, as you know, the waterworks in Bavel have created now new channels of water where the water from Nahar Guza and Nahar Ganda now flow into the area above Bab Nahara, in which case the whole ecology has changed. And even the Kashafti be Nahar Guza and Nahar Ganda, it's certainly not true any longer since the government has made everybody crazy, keeping the Army Corps of Engineers busy destroying everything. So there's no longer an ability to rely on the natural ecology of the area. Omer Abaye.
What was Rabbi saying about Hapad? I mean, this is the nature of the area. Same.
No, that's in Bab Nahara where he relies. In other words, you would think, what are you going to rely on? Your observations, but. Obviously, in Spain, I mean, it's possible that they would import from elsewhere, but they didn't. They just didn't. So, in other words, where you know
they're... The environment and the nature of the people that they weren't importing.
And or. Omer Abaye, Hai Chamra de Yama. This, by the way, is a very kosher yisod, because, I mean, people that are makpid on Hacherim will often not rely on anything else, which is, you know, it's silly. Of course, you can rely on something else. It's the same issue with the call of Yisrael, except that over there the question is whether it was one of the blanket gazeres like the Rambam learns by Gvina, or whether it's really dependent on the nature of the beast. But where something is dependent on the nature of the beast, and you know, we're going to see later on the dinim of Mumchim and so on, who would not want to be caught dead with selling your piece of whatever, swordfish instead of tuna, or so on and so forth, despite the fact that you have no immediate hakara of what it is that they're selling. Or even when it comes to the knives that they would use, they would never use something that would in any way affect the taste of one fish. I mean, you know in Europe how very mock-pit people are on that kind of thing. So that's the type of thing you can rely on, just like over here with the Espamia. So it says Abaye, the fish that's known as the Chamra de Yama. Of course, we have, horse, what do you call them? Seahorses, they had a sea donkey fish. That fish is mutter. Surprisingly, the fish that's called the sea ox, the Tura de Yama, is usser. The way to remember that is the tummy is tar and the tar is tummy because the environment has switched from air to water. Omer Rav Ashi, the Shvar Nuna Shori, but the Kadesh Nuna is usser. These are two similar fish, and also it's difficult to distinguish between them, but because of the periods which they have there, Sapirvakas Kesab, you should know that it's easy to remember because the simon is the Kadesh Nuna is Kodesh Lashem, meaning you'd never eat Kodeshim, you can't eat that. Ikriyam Riyadu Seidon was the Kavar Nuna that's also. You might remember that is Kivrei of Deko Chavim. So Kivrei of Deko Chavim, that's what you got to remember, stay away. Rabbi Akiva came to Ginzak again. We had a lot of mice in Ginzak with Rabbi Akiva. And he didn't have much luck in Ginzak with his other questions. But this time he had an experimental solution. So they bring to Rabbi Akiva a certain kind of fish that looked very much like the chipusha. Now the chipusha was a bottom dweller, sort of like a catfish kind of thing. And it was not a catfish, but it looked like it.
Scavengers,
and they're generally they don't have scales. And this fish did not look like it had any scales. I remember there are scales that are very, very small. They just look like rough skin. So what he did was, he covered it with a basket, had it swim around in there. And because it swam against the edges of the basket, he found tiny scales that had come off from contact. And he realized that it is a scaled fish, and he was martyred on that basis. Rav Ashi once came to Tamduria, and Aitel Kameo who Nuna that looked like a tsalufcha, which is a kind of eel, and Nakti Lahade Yuma, he held up now against the sun, and Chose Beit Simchi, he saw what appeared to be little tiny growths on the skin, which were actually tiny scales, and on that basis he was martyred. Rav Ashi came, Lahu Atra, Aitel Kame Nuna, Tahavidomir Lishvarnuna. Again, these are all various names of various. I have no idea what the actual meaning are. Now here it was a very dark fish. So what he did was he took bright white porcelain containers, covered it with that so that he could see if any tiny black scales had come off, and he found indeed because of a kalpit. And on that basis, he too was martyred. Rabbi Barbachana came to Akradagma, and they brought him tzachanta, which was the chilek. Now. Here's a guy referring, the Rashi learns, referring to the tzachanta as bati. Bati is the name of a non-kosher fish, which was certainly not what was in the tzachanta. But he said, if they're calling this stuff bati, they wouldn't call it bati if it was kosher. Right? It's like shmarka gorim kind of thing. Shmami adava tama itbe. It's got to have non-kosher fish in there. He refused to eat it. And in the morning, indeed, he looked at it carefully, and he saw that it was mixed. A very fine suda this guy brought him. Rebbe should stay in my house. Ashkech be'dover tome. Now, other Rishonim Taina, if they called it bati, obviously he wouldn't have eaten it. I mean, why wouldn't he think that some of the fish were bati? They understand that it means they called the man bati. So a guy called bati was the guy that had brought this stuff. So I don't know. Don't like the name.
Mr. Pork.
Maybe, exactly. Mr. Pork is not the kind of guy you want to bring you your beef. So Mamela found it in the morning. Kori Anafshe, and he said about himself, the Pusik, Lo Yu'unel Tzadik Kol Avin. HaKadosh Baruch Hu protects. I mean, thank God this guy at that moment shows up, and I hear the word Bati. I would have trusted this guy on the Tzachanta. Vakoret shel chiltit, and we had this, we're not sure what chiltit is. Is there a translation? No. The asfotidia, there was, so the San Sino Yisrael says, translated asfotidia. Now, the truth is that is extremely pungent, not the ones that you buy, which have already been dried out and so on. But the natural, they call it devil's stench. And it's a horribly sharp kind of plant. Mostly people use it for health purposes. But it's not clear that that's really the correct translation. I mean, it's understandable. Among the Rishonim, because of the fact that they talk about that this might be a resin, rather a resin that's exuded either by the plant stem or by the leaf, then it's not mash when it's asfotidia. But in any event, it's a very, very sharp kind of thing. And because of that, the chashash was, and we know, we paskin really on every davar charif, that the combination of the pressure of the cutting of the knife combined with the sharpness of the material will force what's in the knife out so that if the knife is treif, whatever it absorbed, it would be considered to be in there, as if it's ba'in. And what's worse, is that because it's sharp, you can't be semich on its not being a ben yomo, because the sharpness makes it edible again. It makes it tasty again. So you can take anything. You add enough ketchup, it's okay, so to speak. In this case, if you've got something that's really sharp, there's all kinds of discussion. What do you call really sharp? Because there are all those who Shonim would say, if it meant any sharp thing, like an onion or a chili pepper, I mean, why would we say chiltit specifically? Of course, la locha, we end up being machmir, and, you know, even the onions that you would cut with a sakin, if you need to press on it, so then you have the combination of duch get a sakin in a dover chorif, and that makes it osir. Same problem with milk, it's fleishik. So there's, among the Rishonim, again, early on, the shaila was, does there have to be shamnunis on the sakin? Or is this, even if there's nothing be'en, it's well wiped, and it's, okay, we take all the chumras.
Time factor in there?
No, that's the question of Eina Ben Yomo, is the time factor. It doesn't count,
doesn't it?
Because of the sharpness. My shine, my time.
Is there, I feel like, the Rabbanon and Dorabata in terms of that type of
I mean, we're machmer on it, basically, across the board. My time on Bishop, the mafsikele besakine, there would be, yes, I shouldn't say that across the board, because in questions where there's only some shittas that hold it, this is considered to be a dover charev, and there are, and certainly on the rabbonin, and you can be samech on it. So, afagav the omar mar, even though normally, cutting with a knife wouldn't matter, because we have the claw that we just paskin yesterday. No tein tam levgam is mutar, and that's the way that we paskin in terms of the other questions of whether there'd be a problem of oil that a goy cooked up in his own containers. But in this case, agav churpe de chiltita, because of the tremendous sharpness of the chiltit, mechalyele shamnunita, whatever shamnunit is exuded by the sack, it becomes now resweetened, and therefore it's avelik and no tein tam leshevach, and it would be osir. Avdei the Rabbi Levi, in Rabbi Levi's lifetime, his servant used to go around selling chiltita, and of course people would buy from him because Rabbi Levi's eved wouldn't be in possession of a sakin that wasn't kosher, and they knew that Rabbi Levi was keeping an eye on him. But after Rabbi Levi died, kinach nafshi the Rabbi Levi, they came and brought the shaila kameh the Rabbi Yochanan, and they asked him, Omrule malu lemizba mine, can we continue to buy from this guy? Or because Reb Levi's no longer alive, I mean, we don't know anything about him, he's an eved. Generally speaking, these guys aren't trustworthy. Omalu avdo shel chaver hareo ki chaver. He has a din of a chaver until proven otherwise. Ravuna bar min yume used to buy tchilta.
Would you say the same about bishalakam, like
avdo shel chaver is my chaver? Well, no, this guy doesn't have a din of an akum. In those days, they still had real avonim. So they used to buy his tchelas. Now, tchelas is a very bad thing to buy without a good hechsher. That's because, of course, kala ilan, which is indistinguishable from the tchelet. So you've got to know that it's got a good ashkacha on it from the place where it was made, initially. And you got to be careful it wasn't in, without a chaysen, as we'll see later, it wasn't in the hands of somebody untrustworthy. The whole deal. So they used to trust now the family, including the wife of Rav Amram Chasida, and they would buy it from her because of the fact that she was Rav Amram Chasida's wife. So then the question was, he had died. They came to Rabbi Yosef and wanted to know, could they continue to buy from her? La Bibiyad. He didn't know. So he bumped into Hanan Chayata, a pretty sharp guy. And he told him, gosh, you know, I don't know what to do. Ah, he says, you asked poor Joe. What's he going to know about this? I mean, Yosef, he doesn't know much. What do you know about these things? He's locked in the house. He's like, eh. But I can tell you. How can I tell you? Because I had exactly this maisa where I bought chelas from the wife of Rav Noah, who is the brother of Rav Chia Bar Abba, and I came to Rav Matna to ask him whether it's kosher. Lo havi biyade, and he didn't know, and he brought it now in front of Rav Yehuda Miagrunia. And Rav Yehuda Miagrunia is, aha, at last I've got you in my clutches. Now you need me. How does it feel? Nafalta liyad, yep. All of these years you've been making fun. Hachi omar Shmuel, now I can tell you. Shmuel tainas eshet chaver, areyu ki chaver. That she has a din of a chaver as long as there's no change in her status. So she's still an eshet chaver. If we see that she's not reliable, we'll see later on what happens if she marries somebody else. It's not a chaver. But meanwhile, she has a din of a chaver.
Where does he say that he doesn't in this case with the...
That's what Inche Beit Din means.
But in the original case, Rufuna Bar...
Same thing also. It was me Inche Beit Din. Yeah, because we're going to see the Gemara goes completely into that question now. So the Tana Rabbanu, Eishet Chaver Reka Chaver, Avdo Chaver Reka Chaver, and if the Chaver Shemet, Ishto Banavu Vnei Beito, Harein Becheskatan, that Chazoka continues onwards, and Achie Chashed. So therefore you can rely on the Eishet Chaver, or on the Anshi Beito of the Chover, or as we said before, on the Eved of the Chover, even Avdo Shel Chover, even when the Chover is no longer alive, and until you have some reason to doubt him. V'chein, not only that, a Chotzer Shemochrim Bo Tchelet, Areo Bechezkato, Ad Shetipasel. That's a very interesting din. Clearly it doesn't mean that the same people in the Chotzer once had a Chazaka continue to have that Chazaka. That's obvious. I mean, wherever you had a Chazaka, there's no reason for us to suddenly be choshed someone who had a cheskes kashrus the whole time. So that wouldn't even be a chiddush. Therefore, the Rishonim learned that what he's talking about over here is that the location is a place where other people would come and sell, but the socharim in that location were very makbid. It was a high-class location. So here is a new halach, that a location that has got a reputation protects its reputation. So even though people may come in from elsewhere, you're coming into a place like this, you don't look at it as if, I don't know this guy.
Exactly.
It's the same way that we're going to be samech on a diamond that you would buy. Because you know, I mean, that's death. I mean, if you buy something that was misrepresented as a different stone, the guy is finished. I mean, he'll be booted out. And nobody's going to give up their entire life's work because they want to sell you a couple extra bucks of tchelis.
Really?
We're not talking about Israelis, we don't.
I understand. We're not talking about politicians, either.
That's true.
But we're really like the.
Even Israelis. Yeah. Video. Yeah, we had the same thing, that's right.
That's an interesting.
Turn it up on it. How about in a case where there's a change in a woman's status? You said an Eshet Chaver has a din of a Chaver, but suppose she was married for 40 years to an Amoret. Now, as I say, her husband dies, and as a second marriage, she marries a chaver. Well, how about a woman who grew up in the house of an Amoritz, and she gets married to a chaver? Or an Eved that had worked for decades as a Batman's butler, and suddenly he gets married to a Talmud Chacham. So he's Nimker LaChaver. In that case, Kulan Tzuchin Kabel Divrei Chaverut, they have to accept upon themselves personally Divrei Chaverut, because here it's not that they were brought up that way by a chaver originally. Avol Eshet Chaver Shenisait La'am Ha'aretz, but in the other direction, where an Eshet Chaver had a din of a chaver, as we described before, and is relied with that din chaverot even after the death of her husband. But if she gets married to an Amoritz, you think that her situation changed. Or a Bito Shachover grew up in a home that was very makbid on Divrei Chaverut, and she gets married to an Amoritz. Or Avdo Shel Chaver Shenimkar LaAmoritz. The other way around, Einan Tzuchin Lekabel Divrei Chaverut L'Chatchila Divrei Rabbi Meir, because the very fact that this is the way that they were doing for so long gives them a din of a chaver, and it doesn't change until there's a reason. Rabbi Yudhaimer, no. The change in circumstances is a reason. That's already a chashad. I'm not telling you over personally. I know a case like this, where a woman had been married to a chaver, and I said, she was such a tzaddikas, and the guy was sick, and she would put on his tefillin and daven with him. Unbelievable. He died. And she goes and gets married to a ganev, who's a meiches, who had bought the rights to collect taxes illegally, meaning that according to his own das, he could go take it. It wasn't, obviously, if it's all legal and it's done exactly, that's something else. We call moiches, I mean, somebody who is semich on his own das, how much to take. So when it came time for him to collect the taxes, same way she tied the tefillin on her other husband's hand, she had the little stampers that he would use. You know, she would tie those on his ear. It doesn't mean literally al yado means. Al yado means for him. But it's a play on words. So
she would tie one on.
You know, this is really, this is a very important nakuda, because this is really the meaning of Nashim Batim Kalas. People think the meaning of Nashim Dayak in colors is that they can't think straight. There's nothing to do with that at all. As we saw before, but we had the sugya by Yimalka, Malkata, Yana, Yamelach. Daitan Kalas means easily adaptable. Their connectedness. Daitan is their, not their intelligence, is Kalas. It's actually much better than men at thinking on many fields. But it means their connectedness, their commitment to a particular way of life can be easily switched, which of course is the only way to get married. You know, how the heck somebody can adapt to living with that jerk is beyond belief, right? But they all manage to adapt. So the idea over there of Daitan Kalas is that they serve as a connector to many, many different types of plugs, you know, like this. I mean, you know your source with a cell phone, but the multiple, you know, they got like 5,000 different plugs. That's the point. If you've got a universal kind of socket, you know, then you're okay. And that's basically what Nashim Dayak Kalas means, that there's an ability to connect to vast variety and to adopt and adapt. That idea. That's, you know, the Gemara and Chagiga, Shim Ibat, Vishikri, Vedavich, and so on and so forth. You know, take what you can and what you can adopt in ways now with the new guy stuff, and adapt what you had to what you've adopted. Now you make now a whole new way of life. Okay, so because of that, she's also able to adjust as an Eshet Chaver to an Am Haaretz, which means that unless she has specifically committed to not changing any of the Yenev of Chaverut, Tainas Reb Shimon ben Elazar, that she would not be considered anymore to be an Eshet Chaver. Omar Rav, talking about now these various things that we said we could buy, but you need either an expert, a particular location, or somebody reliable. The rule is like this. If you're going to be transporting, this is a sinner, if you're going to be transporting a barrel, it doesn't really mean a barrel, it means a chet beit yutaf. That you can't, we're going to talk about what that stands for in a moment. So those things you cannot transport in someone's hands, it's not reliable, just with a chotam echad. You need a chotam beto chotam. But if you're sending out champag, that would be okay with chotam echad. Now, what are these things? Chalav, basar, yayin, tchelet is a chavit. Now, chalav is very strange, but we're going to see what the problem is there, if there is one. Milk, meat, wine, and tchelet, we understand. I mean, meat, wine, and tchelet, they're worth a lot of money. They have very specific standards. It's easy to see why a guy might want to switch a piece of basar for his basar, why he might want to use your wine for nisuch or switch it. Tcheles, obviously, is worth a lot of money. Could easily be switched for kala ilan. Chalav, that's sort of weird. Why would it be worth anybody's trouble to switch chalav for, even if it's only a chotam echad? But those things are asurim b'chotam echad. Masha inkein, the champag, which is the chiltit problem we had before with the absorption of the knife, murias and gvina. So, pot is weird because we're going to be talking about that in a minute also. Pot and gvina, those are all mutarim b'chotam echad because, look, there's not much to be gained with switching it. And, yeah, so it's not worth the tircha. I mean, if you could just easily switch it, nobody would be the smarter. But if he's going to have to start tying things in a particular way and closing it back up, it's not worth it for him. It's just crime has to pay. And that's why they always say crime always pays, but that's only if it does pay. The crime doesn't pay is the only time when people don't do crime. So in this case, crime doesn't pay. All right. So ask the Gemara. Now this girsa that we have here, pot lamai necher shlo, Rashi doesn't have here, and he puts it later. And the truth is, it does make much more sense later, as we're going to see. And Tosfos says, yeah, it does make sense, but that's no reason to switch around. I mean, what are you, conservative or something? So apparently he doesn't like the idea of switching the gears here. But, I mean, it may well be that Rashi's own Kabbalah gears was that it was different. So we'll read it over here, but we'll see ourselves that it really makes a lot more sense a little bit later on. So pot, l'may nechesh, well, what's the problem with pot? Imishume chalufe, what we were worried, is going to switch fresh bread for hardened bread, karira b'chamima. I mean, the guy would see right away that it was switched. I mean, he can't get away with that. And what, switch the type he had? He wants to switch rye bread for wheat bread or something like that. Chiti b'desari, also, you would immediately know the difference. Be the idea. How can the trucker do that and not be caught? And ike adori, and if it's the same kind of bread, so therefore there's not a problem. Now, why in the world we should throw this in here and not talk about any other things? of why it is very strange. Why would we be explaining why pot there's no chashasha? So this we're going to see later will fit much better.
And
then
we don't
think
about
the
glue.
What's that?
We still don't understand why.
Right? Why what? The chalav. The chalav we don't understand. The pot is fine. The question is, the chalav doesn't make any sense. Chalav, you're saying, requires a double seal, and the gemina requires a single seal. What kind of svar is that? So ask the one, Rav. So this would be the beginning of the sugya now, which is much more likely. So Rav, can you explain to me the difference of why it would be that when it comes to cheese, he's not going to be Tariyaku Mezayev, but when it comes to milk, he would be Chalav Nami Lo Tariyaku Mezayev. How in the world would we need... Whoever heard of a chotam, the tol chotam for milk? Omer of Kani, you're right. That's a mistake. Chet doesn't stand for milk. Afik Chalav, take milk out of here and substitute for milk a piece of fish. So a fish fillet, Shein Basiman. I understand that's included in meat. I don't know what's the difference. Meat, fish meat. I know basar. Fine. Technically, it's basar. Let's, again, stop being so pedantic over here. Tregamne basar. You never say fish and meat. You're saying fish and meat. So.
That's a good simon.
What's that?
It's a good simon, Congress.
It's a good simon, but it's not a very good choice for the word. I mean, to say chaticha. They say chalav makes sense. Chaticha could be anything, that's the problem. If you're talking about a slice of, it might as well be a slice of anything not identifiable. Chicken, meat, fish, and so on. That's the
slice of life.
Meat, chota, betochota. That's really true. People lose those instantly. Shmuel Amar. Shmuel says, I got a different way of looking like this. I say, forget about the chavis. Turn it into a house. Instead of a chavis, you have a bayit. Like that. So then, that's also b'chotam echad. And we could take out also our pot business. And we could just, you know, we know that Reuben does quite a thriving business with pot. But machag, leaving out the pot, it's mutter b'chotam echad. So I say the bait would stand for bosr yayin tchelet. That's also b'chotam echad. Of course, not arguing. I don't think bosr would include any type of bosr, including dagim, obviously. But, I mean, why confuse things by turning it into chavit and people start thinking chalav and then I have to turn it into chatichat dag. Much better to remain a house. And the machag, that would be the murias and the chiltit and the gvina. That's mutarim b'chotam echad. And there you go. So according to Shmuel, chatichat dag, Shein Basiman is Basar. Well, why would we need Trey Gavni Basar? Lo Amrina. Now, here is where we would put in pot. And why take out the pay? Because pot, go by name for sure. What, someone has an Avamina, we would be Chayesh for pot. It's obvious. See, that's how it fits in beautifully. You know, so Imi Shumi Klufi, what? He's going to switch Kaviru Bechamini. He's going to switch Sari. There's nothing to be kosher for. So obviously it would be kosher over here. Why would anybody think differently? I'm going to make a simon of every type of thing. Make a simon of those things that people might think is a problem. Nobody is going to think that this is a problem. Dan Rabban.
They actually want you to use your sefer.
They always did.
They did.
Yeah. They were still Jewish in those days. Dan Rabban. Ein lokhin yimach machag besuria. This is even from, obviously, Simone we're going to talk about. This is even from a Jew. Because, you know, they may keep kosher themselves, but, I mean, it's mantsi, sof kosof. Somebody buys a piece of meat. Couldn't it be Safeway? I mean, as long as you don't eat it, it's good.
Kosher in the home.
Kosher in the home, and not makbet so much on lifneiver, you know. The other guy is not a problem. And therefore, since in Syria that was the minhag, so you couldn't trust them, even though they were kosher eaters themselves. So you can't buy yayin, murias, halav, or melach sakundrit. We're going to see what that is. It's a type of salt, regular salt, but it's absorbed non-kosher ingredients to be discussed very soon. V'lo chiltit, v'lo gvina, unless the guy is a mumcha who is never going to risk his career. Yes. Never going to risk his entire parnasa and Ma'amad Atziburi for his mumchiyut.
So that means we don't
unless
buy
it's a lot of money.
That means we don't buy these things.
No, I mean, obviously people did rely on mumchim, and that's where they got into trouble. But I mean, we're not going to, because of the rare cases where a mumcha is ready to risk his life, basically, for these kinds of things. I mean, we're not going to aser in general. The kulan. Now, in all of these cases, if you're in his home, it's kosher. So then if nitareach etza balabayit, then it's mutter. And the truth is that it's even more than that. I mean, this is a riot to Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi's Sfarad. I'm Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi. Even if the balabayit sends something to your house, or you're a neighbor, you get something from the balabayit. This guy's a manchi butcher. So you're thinking to yourself, should I eat it? But if he sent it to your house, he probably brought it from his own house. His own house is kosher. So therefore, it's mutter. My time, huh? The balabayit himself, lo shava katera b'achal isura. He himself isn't going to bring the Safeway chickens to his house. So because of that, if he's sending something to his neighbor, he's sending it from his own freezer. So if he's mishagele, he might also mishagele. He's not going to send it from the store.
You trust the neighbors who said, Eber heis Mendel, make him an Essen for ein Fendel.
That's basically what it's saying here.
His name is Mendel.
Melach Salkundarit. What in the world is that? My Melach Salkundarit. Om Rivian Armar Shmuel, it's the Melach that calls Salkundari de Romi, all of the rich bakers in Rome. They always use that kind of salt. Ochlimotam. What is that? Well, we're going to see now. Tanarabana. Melach Salkundarit, if it's black, it's awesome. If it's light colored, it's mutter. So says Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Yehuda said, no, no, it's just the opposite. The white is usser, the dark is mutter. Rabbi Yehuda ben Gamliel, Mishum Rabbi Hanina ben Gamliel says, both of them are usser. And in actuality, it's basically a question of the minhag. Because what was going on over here is like this. Omer Rabba Bar Bachana, Omer Rabbi Yochanan, Lidivrei HaOmer Levana Asura. So what was going on here is that the Salkundarik would be salt, that would be mixed with fish brine.
Flavored salt.
Or flavored salt that is supposed to be high-class salt. And sometimes we'll see mechazer, whatever. So the light-colored ones was where you had to worry about kirvei dagim levanim. It was light-colored fish that were tmei muravim bo. The divrei shechora asura was kirvei dagim shechorim tmei muravim bo. The divrei omer zev zeh asura. So the same thing as zev zeh muravim bo. There's no... This is a right that this is just different in argument, different places, basically. And the Rabbi Abo says, I could talk about this old fat guy in our neighborhood. He used to use good chazer schmaltz, and he would put it over a machalik panel, b'shuman chazir. So don't limit it to fish. This is really geschmack salkundari. Hare elu asurin. It's very interesting because there are still places where they do stuff like this, you have to be very careful, and you basically can't find anything that hasn't been geschmiert with lard. And the oven was geschmiert, but I mean, it's rare, but in Europe, there are places where you can't buy anything. Harayom. Even the bread, yeah. Are elu asurim lemu'utei mai? So you're saying, elu are asurim. I mean, what's that coming to now repeat for? Dafka these, meaning dafka these are the iser of hana of achila mutar b'hana'a. So what is more aser that is aser af b'hana'a lemutei mai lechizkiya? What we saw before, chizkiya said b'med var mamur b'she'ena yadua. But if it's b'yadua, meaning that it was a rove, so then it's going to be even aser b'hana'a. Now that was a machlokas because it wasn't b'en. Okay. According to Rabbi Yochanan, who argued, it would be l'mu'ute murias and gvinat beitu naiki. Now, even though I'll leave it to Rabbi Meir, murias and gvinat beitu naiki, because they're machliki panah, b'shum al-chazir, the yayin nesach, and the murias mixed with the yayin nesach would be osur b'ana. This mission is coming to tell me that. It's very elu. But anything beyond that is osur b'ana too. But then that would mean that this was a stam mishnah. I'll leave it to Rabbi Meir. That's the elu. And now our dear president will grace us with the elu mutarin ba'achila. The following things are even mutar to eat. Until now we've been talking about, first we had to exhaust our ba'na'a, then we went down a level in the mission. After that, the following things are mutar ba'na'a. Now we have things that are even mutar ba'achila. So if you have milk, shechalvo aveko chavim v'yisrael ro'eu. So if the Yisroel, Rav Gemara is going to discuss exactly what the case is over here. The Jew sees him milking. Dvash, where again, all dvash is cooked before it's strained. We're going to talk about why that's mutter. Dav devaniot are dripping grape clusters.
Great.
Yeah. So you'd think, okay, so I mean, the drip, maybe he would already turn, make it. No. There's Yayin Esa. By the way, That's the way most Rishonim learn. So even though they're dripping, they're not even considered to be a mashke legabi ekshir. So we're going to see, even though the question is a botzer legat, famous machloket, that botzer legat, even the drippings are going to be makshir. The difference is that the davdav duyot are edible grapes, but not table grapes, exactly. They're not meant for mashke. And therefore, they're not looked at as a wine or as a grape juice, and the guy doesn't think about it. You don't want it, exactly. You prefer that they remain whole grapes. And all of the pickling issues were aimed at kam l'teta tochen yayin v'chometz, as opposed to the ones mentioned earlier, where the derech was to use wine or wine vinegar. And the tarit, that is not trufa, because as we said, that's easily recognizable. Tzir, sheyesh ba daga, the tzir that we had, the daga that was referred to as the kilbit. Now, again, big machlokas, and Rashi, remember, learns the kilbit itself is a dover tame, that is godel mi'atzmo in the tzir, only of kosher fish. The Ritva says, I've heard old wives' tales in my life, but that's about one of the craziest ones. I mean, it is intellectually unacceptable, experientially unacceptable. It's ridiculous. What it really means is, and he agrees with the Tosas that we mentioned earlier, that they used to put in a fish as a simen for what type of tzir it was. And once again, anybody selling stuff, once he did that, it's a very strong commitment. He would be caught with a different min in there, misrepresenting it with a live fish that is whole. He'd be dead. So because of that, you trust the daga kishera, which is the kilvit. And the word kilvit, according to many Rishonim, is not a type of fish. It means the little puppy, meaning the youngster that they would leave in there that they could see whole what type of fish it was. Like I say, tequila.
Like the worm tequila.
Right, exactly. If you got that worm there, it's got to be kosher tequila. The Allah shall chiltit, as opposed to the karat of chiltit, just cutting through the leaf of a chiltit is not considered to be sharp. Zeite gulus ka'ot hamagul galin. If you've got now the way in which they would take the olives and they would press them, now very often they would put the wine on it. Right? But if it was now pressed into this round container, similar to the type of things you would do with figs, they would put it in there and they would start getting warm from the heat of the oxidizing grapes. And over there, you don't have to be cheshish that they would put anything in it. The whole point is there to let it fall apart because it's in its own heat. Rabbi Yossi Omer, that hashlachtin asurin, and we'll see what that is. It's referring to dates as well, in which the seeds come right out. And he's cheshish. The reason the seeds are soft, I mean, usually the date, the I keep saying date, I mean olive. Did I say olive or I said date? Good heavens. Olive. It's always olive. If I said anything else other than contrasting it to dates, please cut and paste.
So the zeytek was cut, we believe it's only olives pressed together without
yes.
grapes. Without grapes.
Okay. Yes, I don't know how I could have said grapes. Dates, I know that I said because it's similar to the dates I said.
Yes.
If I slipped, please fix it in your minds.
Think Popeye.
So we're talking about olives, and now olives, which are usually pretty tough to get out pits of the olives, if they slide out, it looks as if they've been sitting in some right. wine to get them softened. So they're also chagavim. Now, if you're just buying and from the candy dish that they used to have in front of the stores.
By the cash register.
Right. Yeah. So then, you know, the kids could buy for just, you know, a nickel for a package full of... Could I have a grasshopper? By the way, I mean, this you should know.
Yeah.
You should know that in Africa, these things, or ants, flying ants, when it starts to rain, are such a treat. The kids go running through the streets, grabbing them, popping them into their mouths while they're still flying. Raw. And supposedly it tastes like chocolate. I mean, it's...
I would guess chicken.
That's locus. The blue pill.
Oh.
Kosher locusts. You can eat alive.
Yeah. I mean, they don't require any kind of extra. There's a problem.
No, I'm saying you don't think
there's just much. The problem of whether it's considered to be about the shakt, but not in terms of kosher. So anyway, this is talking about now. They're in the bin in front of the storekeeper. Yeah. So over there, if they're boyim mina selula, they're asurim, because in order to keep them looking good, he will sprinkle them, the storekeeper, with wine, and that makes them look fresh and gives them wine. Yeah, so he's using stam yayin, you know, that is asur. But if he's bringing it from the haptic, he's bringing it from the storage room, then it would be mutar. We're talking about over here, these are salted or they're dried. So over there, he wouldn't risk losing his stock if he puts wine on it. And the same thing is true about a truma, which we'll see later on in the Gemara. It's referring to a coin. He's not going to risk his livelihood because he's afraid the chacham are going to be mafker his entire storage room if he's found to be misrepresenting truma as chulin. So, therefore,
it is truma.
If it were truma, he would not be storing it. He'd be too worried about it. So, tanina la d'dan rabbanan. When the Mishnah says, as long as the Jew sees him, and that's a chiddush. So, what we see over here is that the yoshev yisro b'tzad edro shelo v'itko chavim, that the guy over here is sitting next to the guy where he's doing the work with his own flock. And the Oved Kochavim can do the milking, and he can bring it to him, and he doesn't have to worry. He doesn't have to know exactly what he's doing. So now, think about this. This is Echidom. What are we talking about? If the guy doesn't even have access to milk, that would be tummy. He had a perfectly kosher flock. The Jew is standing there. I mean, obviously, he didn't go anywhere. He didn't leave anywhere. Where would he get no kosher milk? I mean, my nekishle. So I don't have to worry about that. So it's pshita. Idika dover tamei be'edro. Why would we say it would be mutter? Just because you could see the guy if you haven't seen what the guy is doing. Le'olam di'ika dover tamei. He does have non-kosher animals. But we're talking about over here, v'chikoi, if the Jew would stand up at any minute, instead of leaning back now in the chair reading the farmer's magazine, you know, if he'd stand up for a minute, he could see exactly what he's doing. That's the chiddush over here. So, so you might think the guy figures, he's not going to get up. He's looking at the magazine. Yeah. Since it would take nothing for the guy to see what he's doing. It's the same thing as these webcams. I mean, what's the chance that somebody's really looking, you know? But still.
It's not even really connected.
But it's enough to keep you on your toes. So, in there, it's enough if he's ro'eh. Hadvash, dvash, l'may nechushla. So what is exactly the problem? There's no reason to ask it. Because look, are you worried about mishum i'aruve? You're worried that maybe he put in some wine into it?
That's the worry we're talking
bad news. No, yeah. Misra, sorry. It's gonna ruin the dvash. Are you worried about bishalakum? There's no problem with bishalakum because dvash is necha kamosha uchai. And therefore, raw honey, what's he gonna gain by cooking it? Imishum giuliakum. If it's because he cooks it, he heats it in order to pass it through the filter and so on. So what? So he used now his chazer pot. Big deal. It's nice in tam livgam. Nice in tam livgam is mutter. I mean, you might not go for it, but if you're just keeping kashrus, what's the problem?
Like lechatchila?
Yeah. Lechatchila in the sense that it's already made, not that you would bring it to him to make.
This roller coaster of trust and cynicism is this up and down.
Because you have to be very careful, obviously. The Gemara is telling you things that you can rely on that make the danger of the over-cautious observance and its social implications to be something that one needs to be a bit cynical about in terms of the triage of what's important in life and what is less important. I mean, you see the way that Chazal related to the issues. Dav ben yod. You're saying even though you've got dripping grapes over here, there's not a problem? And not only that, they're not even machshir? What about the famous Machlokes Shammai and Hillel about Habotzer Legat, where in the end Hillel was made at the Shammai? He said that if you're picking grapes, your intent is to turn them into wine. And then that means that as you pick them, anything that leaks out of them is considered to be Machshir of a Kabbal Tumah. And by definition, they're going to be Makabal Tumah or Okshir. Hillel on a Lokshir, in the end, Odel Hillel Shammai. Why is this any different? It's different because of exactly the word Botzer Legat. It means that they're being connected specifically, picked specifically in order to put into a wine press. That's the whole idea. So atam kabayle la mashke. Since you want them for mashke, there's no problem of it's. I don't want them to be crushed. Why not? I mean, they're ultimately meant to soften and so on. But hacha over here, the whole point of these davdavniot is that they're table grapes and lo kabayle la mashke. Therefore, it's considered not to be a mashke that was there ki yutan, which would be darshan ki yitain. I'm not interested in this mashke being there. Tosus even asks, I mean, what's even the hava meaning? Doesn't it say botzer lagat? Isn't that obvious that that's what the machlokas was? Botzer lagat. I mean, he says, you know, well, maybe the pshat was that the baksha thought that even not botzer lagat, the only reason it said botzer lagat was to tell me that Hillel's original swara was to be mater even botzer lagat, because at this point you don't want it. So it wouldn't be moksha lakabal tuma. Tarit she'inachrufa. Yeah, it's late tomorrow. V'tari trufa v'tzir she'ed badaga mar chilek amre nachom barav amarav zu sultanit b'pnei ma'asura b'pnei she'iruvuna ola ima tan rabbanan in lo akshav v'atid lagadeh le'achar zman kegon ha'sultanit v'afitzer eze butar yesh lo akshav v'atid la'ashir b'sha'a she'ole min hayam kegon akunas, afunas, katas patias akas patias, atunas mutar achriz rabbi abo b'kisari kirve dagim ועוברים ניקחים מכל אדם. חזקתן אינם בואים אלא מפלוסה והספמיה, כדי אמרה הבאי, היית שכנת את בב נהר השאר ימייתה אימה, אילה אימה בשום דרדיפה אימה, יבא היית לקטה מגיבל הלט לאיכות השיר ובדוך דרדיפה אימה, אלא מציקוי, בוקח חזין את הכוי, אלא משום דמליך אימה, יבא היית לקטה מגיבל הלט לקלפי, בדוך דמליך אימה, אלא מציקוי, because the Zina the Koi perfectly well. Elamishum de Lomar Batina, Dag Tame, in that location, that's all. Omravina, Idna de Koshakibi, and Arguzov, and Agamda, Siri. Omrabai, Hai Hamra de Yama, Shari. Tura de Yama, Osis, and Nakatame, Tora Tortame. Omravashi, Shvar Nuna Shari, Kadesh Nuna Osis, Simanaka Kadesh Hashem, Ikrem Kaver Nuna Osis, Simanaka Kivre of the Kokob. Rabbi Akiva, Ikwa Laginzak. Aita lekame hu nuna David domi lechipush shachafke betikula chozbe kalpe v'sharia ravashi ikla letamduria aita lekame hu nuna David domi letzlufcha nakte ladiyume chozbe David betzimche v'sharia ravashi ikla vato aita lekame nuna David domi lechafernuna chafye b'mishrich lechivre chozbe kalpe v'sharia Rabba Barbachana ikla laakrda agma kriva lechachanta shamir ugavra David Carle Bati, Carle Bati, no good. Shmami the Dover Tame eat by Loa Kamani, but Safra, in Bashka, but Dover Tame, Koreanavshe, Loyo, Nela, Sadik, Alad. A courage shall hilt it by time, and we shouldn't have mafsiki lebisakina. Alpha Gavi, Omar, not 10 times of Gamutar, Agav, Hurpe, the Hiltita, Mikhaya, the Shamnunita, but I will like not 10 times of Shevach, the Osur. After the Reblevi, I have come as Zavim Chiltita. Kinachrav, the Reblevi, I have come to Nachman, and Malam is Bemine, Amalu, Avdei, Shalchover, Areo Kechover. Revunabar, Minyumi, Zavit Chilt, Minch, the Beit, the Rav Amro, Prasida, Oto, Lekame, the Rav Yosef, Lav, and Yodek. Boge, Bechan, and Chayat, Amal, Yosef, and Nia, Minole. But in the Avi, you have the Zvin, the Chilt, Minch, the Beit, the Rav Noah, Achut, the Pchibar, Ava. Toi, Lekame, the Rav Matam, Lav, and Yodek. Toi, Lekame, the Rav Yudam, Argunia, Omari, ha ha, nafalte liyad, hochi omar shmul, eshet chaver rikachaver, detan rabbanan eshet chaver rikachaver, avdo shachaver rikachaver, chaver shemet, ishto banav vnei beito, arei hein, beches katan. Ad shi yechashedu. Vechein, chotzer shemokhulim bo, tchelet arei beches katan, ad shi tipasel. Tan Rabbanan Eshet Ama Arachini Set Haver Vachin Bito Shalam Arachini Set Haver Vachin Avdo Shalam Arachini Karla Haver Kulam Tzerchin Lekabel Divrei Haverut Aval Eshet Haver Shini Set Lama Aretz Vachin Bito Shal Haver Shini Set Lama Aretz Vachin Avdo Shal Haver Shini Karla Lama Aretz Inan Tzerchin Lekabel Divrei Haverut Lekatkhila Divrei Bimeir Rabbi Yudan Rafen Tzerchin Lekabel Divrei Haverut Lekatkhila Vachin Oyer Bshimen Alezer Omer Maase Bisha Achat Shini Set Lekhaver הייתה קושרת לו תפילין על ידו, ניסית למוחס, הייתה קושרת לו קשר עם מוחס על ידו. אומר רב, חבית אסור בחותם אחד, חמפג מותר בחותם אחד, חבית סטנדינג פור חלב, בשר, יין ותכלת, אסורים בחותם אחד, Chilti, the Murias, Pat, Gvina, Zachampag, Mutorim, Bechotamecha. Okay, we'll read here Pat, but it should appear later, apparently. Pat, Lamai Nekeshle, Imesha Bechlufe, Kerir Bechamima, Media Dia, Chite Bezari, Nami Media Dia, Iki Adari, Kivendika Chotamecha, Lotarach Mezai. Verav, Maishna Gvina, the Lotarach Mezai, Chalov, Nami Lotarach Mezai. Omrev Kana, Ofik Chalav, Va'ayo Chaticha, Aminid Dag. Just throw out the head and leave a bit, a bite. Throw out the pay and you're left with a machag. Boser yayin tcheret, including the fish. Asurim b'chot amechad. Murias chiltit gvina. Mutorim b'chot amechad. The shmuel. Chatichat dog. She'im b'siman is the exact equivalent of boser. Why would we say trey gamli boser? And now if we gerez the pot here, it explains why we took out the pay. Tana Rabbanan, Ein lochin yimach machag besuria. Lo yayin, lo murias, lo chalav, lo melach salkundit, lo chiltit, velo gvina, ela min hamumche, vekulam im nitarech, it's a balabayit mutar, misayel, Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, don Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, shagar lo balabayit lebeito, mutar, my time of balabayit, lo shavik eter vachali sura, from in front of me. Melach Salkundarit, my Melach Salkundarit. Or maybe Ramishmul, it's called Salkundarit because it's the Melach Shekol Salkundari Romeo Chlimota. And these guys, they give bread out to the whole world. They're multimillionaires. Tana Rabbana Melach Salkundarit Shekorah Asura Levana Muteret. The Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Yonah Levana Asura Shekorah Muteret. Rabbi Ben Gamliel Mishur Bechanina Ben Gamliel Omer Zu Vezu Asura. Omer Abba Bar Bachana, Omer Rav Yochan, Lidivrei, Omer Levana Asura, Kirve Dagim Levanim Tmei Imur Yavimba, Devre Omer Shkora Asura, Kirve Dagim Shkorim Tmei Imur Yavimba, Devre Omer Zuvizu Asura, Dezevizu Imur Yavimba, Omer Rav Avon, Mishur Mechanir, Magamlil, Zakin, Echadai, Bishkonatenu, Shara Machalik, Bana, Bishumul Chazir, Harei Lo Asur Lemuti Mai, the Chizke Lemuti Biyadua, which is Asura Afbana, the Rav Yochan Lemuti Murizik Gvina Beitunayk, which is Asura Afbana, ustamak Rabbi Meir, ve'lo mutar b'achila, cholav shechalvo ovid kochavim v'Yisrael ro'eu, dvash tovdalniot, even if they're menatvim, and by the way, in ben mishumech shemashke either, kivashim shein darken latet l'tochan yayin v'chometz, tarit shein natrufa, tzir sheyesh badaga, meaning the kilbit, v'aleh shel chitilt, instead of the actual crystal, v'zeite glus ka'ot ha'megugalim. Rabbi Yossi Omer, well, the ones that are shlachin, they're asuri. Achagavim avayim in asilula in front of the chenvani are asura because of the yayin that he sprinkles on it. But if they're coming from the heptek, they're mutarim. V'chein l'truma. Tadino adetan rabbani Yoshev yisur b'tzaded roshalakam v'rikachom v'choleiv lo mevi lo inachoshesh. Echidami. Ida leka davetame, obviously inachoshesh. What are you going to be chosh for? Ida ika davetame. Why not be chosh? Le'olam di ika davetame. Following is the daf from the year 2003 in the previous cycle. Okay, so we're holding on the Aflam of Kesam and Beis. Three lines up from the bottom, Mukhvashim Shadarkam Natek Betokham Yayin. Omar Chizkiya Lo Shanu El Shadarkam. And we say that if you have various pickled goods in which it's the norm that you put wine into it, that that's Asur Ba'afila, says Chizkiya, that's only if it's just the assumption that it's the best to put it in Abu Yadua. If you know for a fact that there was a mixture of wine in it, then it would be Asra Fibu Bahana'a. Because, I mean, certainly if we know that there was wine that was Asra Bahana'a in it, we're going to ask for the entire thing in it. So how do you explain then Murias? So Maishanami Murias, certainly Murias is the equivalent of Yadua. Because, I mean, on Murias you have a rove. And nonetheless, the Rabbanan who argue and Rabbi Meir say that the Muris is Mutar Bahana'a. According to you, we should say that in the case of Muris, it would Vada be Osir Bahana'a. There's a big difference. By the Muris Osir Ma'aburi Zulama, the only reason that we put in the wine over there, if you recall, is because we're talking about the level of extraction in which it's already not such a good taste. And over there, we need to counteract the stench, basically, that's associated with fish, that very fishy taste. But it's not that it adds a ton. It's basically, it's removing the zuama, the disgusting taste of the fish. In which case, we look at it really as the wine is not remaining in the mixture, but rather it's canceling out that taste. It's just like it's as if you poured it out. But hakala matuke tama, a shingen over here, where you put into a mixture of pickled goods, you put in wine over there, it's in order to make the taste better. Therefore, chisketainen, but if you know for a fact that it's there, you'd have to answer it behind the eye as well. If you're chen amar, it's relevant as not. People be doing animus. The truth is that it would be mutter, even if you know for a fact that you put in wine, not only if it's a suffix. Umaishna mimurius the Rabbi Meir the Asir Bahana'a. The reason that over here we don't find that there's a machlokas, according to Rabbi Meir, Murius is Asir Bahana'a, whereas over here we're saying even if it's yadua, it seems everyone is better that it's mutter, is because hasam yediya mamasho. The point over there is that you're eating the mixture itself, which includes the wine that you put into it. And Mimela, the wine is actually part of what it is that you're eating. Mashenkin over here, where you're mixing it with the pickling juice. So over there, the thing that you're eating is actually the pickle, not the juice. And the juice is there in order to allow it to be preserved. But Mimela, when I'm eating it now, there's no longer any, obviously we're not talking about whether there's a tam of the yai. So Mimela, the thing itself, that which it gave to us, it preserved it in a proper way and so on, is still not considered to be the achila of the thing itself, the way it is with the murias, which that is what I'm dipping it in and eating it with. The next case that we had was the taris trufa, the tzir she'in ba dagah dekilbis that's in it. And then we talked about the chilak. What exactly is chilak? Omar Rav Nachman Barav, Omar Rav Zu Sultanit. The chilak is the sultanit that we discussed earlier. Mipnei ma asura, mipnei she'irvuna olayin ma. The reason that we said that it's asur is because since it always comes up mixed with fish that are the trace of fish, which is very difficult to see the difference, unless, as we said before, you have somebody that's a professional and is very careful about separating it out. So, mainly, you have to assume that it has that ta'arovet that comes along with it. Tana Rabbanan, in general, in terms of understanding why a fish like a sultanit, which right now doesn't have any simanim of taira on it, why such a fish is mutter, is because, as it says in the Braisa, Ein lo akshav, say a fish does not have currently snapir v'kaskeset. V'atid l'gadel li'ach hazman, but it's going to grow, v'mrutzat hazman, it's going to grow, these simani, such as the sultanit fish or the afits. Areze mutar, you're allowed to eat it now. And if it has now, yesh v'achshav, v'atid l'asir b'sha'ah sh'olam min hayam, there are fish that actually shed their simanim at the time that they're removed from the water, like the akunis, the afunis, the tafsias, the afpastayas, the atunis, are all mutter as well. So it doesn't matter whether we have them now, or we have, will, and don't, won't have them when we take them out, or whether we don't have them now, but we'll have them when the dog matures, like the case of the sultanis. In both cases, it would be mutter.
But any fish that has simon at one time during its life?
Right, because we're darshaning aimlo. Tosus explains that the wherever it says aimlo, we darshan like, as if it says with an ayin. Ayinala, meaning to see if it has or will have or did have. So it means not something that you see directly at the moment, but that you have to go out and find out about. And some of them,
you wouldn't have to eat it when it has this.
That's right. It would be mutter even if it looks like a trace of fish at this point. Achris Rabbi Avu Bekesari, Kirve Dagim Ubaran. If you have the innards of fish or the caviar, Nikafin Nikol Adam, are allowed to be bought from anybody, around here anyway, because Peskatan, Einan Bain Elami Pelusa Vaspamia, in general around here they're imported only from either Pelusa or Spamia. And around there are no dugim tameim that are marketable like this. Kihodi Amar Abaye, Hai Tzachanta, the Bab Nahara, the Tzachanta actually means the smelly stuff, which is the chilek that we were talking about before, the fish, that's, you know, the ground up fish, and then ground up to cut up pieces. So they always call dugim Tzachanta because it stinks after a while. So the Tzachanta in Bab Nahara is mutter. Even though Lamaisa, you can't really see that all the pieces of fish that you're buying are kosher fish. Why is this? My taima, ilema mishum redife maya. Is it because the water current is very strong there, and because haidgak tamekim deletle chuta shidra beduchta redife maya lamatzikoi? Is it because the gak tamei? Here's a big problem with this whole sugya, because on the surface, it seems to be talking about all fish that are tameim, and it's claiming that they don't have, that they're not vertebrates, which is obviously absurd. And all the Rishonim are, you know, up in arms about what is this supposed to mean. And there's many different approaches to what it means, but certainly the simplest approach to take is that the fish that is similar and might get confused in this particular area with the tzachanta, with the chilek, is something that does not actually have kuta shidra. We'll see later on that there are other approaches that make more sense. So in a place where the water has a very strong current, you won't find them. But that's not true. Akazina, the Kray, we certainly find many invertebrate fish, or what we call fish in Hebrew. Obviously a fish by definition is a vertebrate. But remember that in Lashon HaKodesh, something that swims in water is called a fish. So we find many such things even in strong currents. Ela Mishum Demilike Maya, is it because the water is very salty? And the type of duck tummy that we're referring to that would be possibly mixed with the tzachanta with the chilek is something that, since the less like kaltei v'dufter melika ma'ilo koi, ilo matzikoi, is it because it doesn't have the protection on its skin to be able to survive this type of saltiness? For kochazin and the koi, we see for experimentally that it survives perfectly well in salty water. Ella mishum tamamar batine. Look, I don't know what the reason is, but the bottom line is that for some reason it's not hospitable, the spawning area that it would usually use, which is the part of the nahar in which it would hide its eggs. It's unusable for some reason, and they don't reproduce in Bab Nahara. So whatever the reason is, bottom line is you can rely on the chilek there because simply you don't find the type of dog that's usually mixed with chilek in that area. Ravina says, Ravina, that was only true at the time of Abaye. It's no longer true because they've diverted the rivers of Nahar Guza, Nahar Gamba, that currently spill into the watershed of Bab Nahara. And now that the constitution of the water and the apparently the silt is no longer the same as it was, it's no longer true. We do find that there's plenty of these kind of fish there. And the chilek is no longer. Look, obviously these are things that are very, very carefully calibrated when you're talking about environmental issues like this. So the ecological niche that's inhabited by the fish similar to the chilek that gets mixed with it is currently open. And we do find those kind of fish there. And these types of piske halokas have to be taken as very much dependent in the exact circumstances at the time that they were said. It no longer applies today. Om Rabbaye, Hai Chamra Diyama Shori, Tura Diyama Asir. The fish that's called the sea ass, is mutter, and the fish that's called the sea ox is usser, and the simanech is tamei tahor, tahor, tamei. Remember which one is which? Just remember that an animal, and in the animal, obviously, it's inverted. Rashi says there's also the shfar nuna ishori, and the kadesh nuna is usser. And the way to remember it is kodesh lashem, something that's kodesh, you can't eat. Yikriyam Rebbe says it's the kavar nuna that's asur. And the way to remember that is kivrei ovdei kochavim, that is something that is not for you. Rabbi Akiva came to the town of Ginza. And also the kamehu nuna, they brought a particular fish to him to examine. They weren't sure if it was kosher or not. Yavidame lichipusha. It looked on the surface like a hipusha, which is a non-kosher insect. Nechakid lichikula, and he covered it up so that it was thrashing about in a small area, and then examined it because of a kalpi, and he saw that there were small scales that had been deposited. So obviously it did have scales, even though they maybe were very tiny. You couldn't see it on the surface. And based on that, he was marked as a fish. Ravashi came to Tanduria, and Aitolakane Hununa Davidami Slufka, they brought a particular fish to him that looked like a slufka, but it wasn't kosher. Naktila Hadayumi, he held it up against the sun, and Chazad Avidei Timchei, he saw that it had places where it was growing, these very tiny the beginnings of, apparently, initially it doesn't have scales and it grows them. We said before, if it grows scales later, it doesn't matter if it has them now or not. And on that basis, Shari was matu the fish. Ravashi Klalu Atra, Aitil the Kame, they brought a particular fish, Lahu Nuna, to have a Dama Lishvar Nuna. Now they brought a fish that looked like the Shvar Nuna, and there's a machlokus over here, whether the Shvar Nuna is kosher or non-kosher, actually. And it's Nogea different Yersos over here between Rabbi Yochanan and Rashi. The way Rashi has it, the Shvar Nuna itself is kosher, as we saw before. So it was just that they were kosher, that maybe it wasn't one, but the other gear says that it was similar to the fish that wasn't kosher. That was Rabbeinu Hanano's girsa. His girsa earlier was the Shvar Nuna is Osir, and the Kadesh Nuna is Mutter, and he changed the simon to Kodesh Yisrael Lashem. So it was a very different, which makes more sense here. I mean, why would they bring a fish that looked like a kosher fish and worry that it wasn't a kosher fish? And the way Rashi is learning, you got pictures of some curious things.
Some of them, yeah, but not what we're talking about now.
Which, oh, later on, you think?
No, it's not, it goes from...
Uh-huh, okay.
It doesn't cover this particular...
So anyway, what he did, what he was... Chafi the Mashkile Hivri, he took like a very white bowl and put it over it. And Chazabe Kiofi, he was able, therefore, to make out the darker scales against it and was martyred. Rabbi Barbachana came to Akra the Agma, and Krivali Tzachanta, they brought to him the Tzachanta, which is the chilek. And he assumed that it was kosher chilek, as we said, it's professional and it's okay. And Shamuel Ugavidev, a Kavali Bati, but he heard somebody, just overheard somebody referring to the chilek that he was being served, referring to it as Bati. Now, Bati is the name of a non-kosher fish. And that disturbed him. And he said, you know, I'm not going to eat this. Shema min adavar tame itve. There's no, I wouldn't have overheard that comment if there wouldn't be something wrong with it. And he didn't eat it. In the morning, he had the time to go through the bucket that had it, and he found, in fact, in it, davar tameh, he found something that normally you would assume would have been filtered out by a professional and hadn't been. So he said, Baruch Hashem, that I had this simon, that I heard somebody call it bati, because I never would have thought that it was also to eat. Vakoret shel chiltit. Then we had this. I haven't been able to figure out what it is, but this exceedingly sharp plant that, what happened? He didn't have any, or just had that asafoetidia, is that what you said it was? Yes, the asafoetidia? Yeah, the asafoetidia, okay. So,
So we said over there, the korek shochiltit is also a problem. Now, the question is, why would it be a problem? I mean, lechora, the only problem we would have over here is the fact that the guy uses a knife to cut it, and the knife is not a kosher knife. But the problem is that we said all along, our assumption has always been, that we said kalim can be assumed not to be b'nei yoman. If they're not b'nei yoman, then they're going to be no tain tam livgam. So what's the problem? So my time in Mishum, the masik leib is sakina. It's because it's used with a non-kosher knife. You buy it from the going, apgav the yomar, no tain tam livgam mutar. Even though we know that we've said no tain tam livgam mutar when we talked about the other cases in which it may have been put into a non-kosher vessel. But here it's different, because agav chulte dechiltit, because of the fact that the chiltit is so incredibly sharp, lechalyele shanunita, v'havele kenotin tam l'shevach, what happens is that the oily, now there's a very important machlokas here, which is okay, bechval, a lot of the name of tarfas, whether we're talking about shanunita, are we talking about a layer on the knife of actual fatty residue from the last time that it had been used? And that's what the issue is over here, which normally I would have said maybe was pagum. And now, because it is so, the chiltik requires so much watering down that the shamnunis on it, because of the sharpness of the chiltik, ends up being essentially a notin tam l'sheva. Or whether we are talking about the actual absorption of the knife. Normally we say, then unless something is used when it's hot, there is no absorption. And this creates a new issue, which is agav churpe desakina, because of the immense pressure that's generated on the tiny surface area when you're cutting with a knife, and that's how a knife works. You're basically exerting tons and tons of pressure on a very tiny surface. And because of that, the pressure, the churpe desakina, you actually can force out what normally we would say would only be under circumstances using it hot, not cold. And therefore, churpe desakina, because of that, it would be bala. Now, there's the machlokas, whether that's the issue over here, and it has nothing to do with whether it brings shamnunis necessarily on the surface of the knife. But even if it's something that was nivla inside of the knife, and it's truly no tain tam livgam, it's been there already for a while, that because of the fact that the knife is being used here, that then the sharpness of the chilkit takes that which would normally a knife in tam livgam, which we're agreeing comes out of the knife because of the purpose of sakina, and in this case is mahapasit to a tam l'shevach because of the immense sharpness of what it is that you're cutting. Now there's a machlokas, by the way, as to whether this is something that's unique to chilkit, because the chilkit is very, very sharp, or whether this is true of anything that is sharp, even like a radish, where would we go so far? That too is a machlokas person. Any dovekarev, right? Marlahu. No, sorry. So it's because it says if it's kinotit on the shevach and it's awesome. Avdei the Reb Levi's servant used to always go around selling kiltita, and that was one of the things that Levi had been making money off of when he was nifter. Kinoch Nafsh Reb Levi. And the question is whether you could continue to buy from this eved of his. He's no longer under the control of the Talmud Chacham or whoever in the house. So they came to Reb Yochanan to ask whether it's mutter under these circumstances to purchase the chiltis. Can I continue to buy from him? Amalu, and he told them, until we know otherwise, someone who had a chazakah of being an eved of a chaver and zanhaga had a din of chaverut is considered to maintain that status until some chashash comes up. And we have a similar case where Rav Huna bar Menyumi, who used to purchase tcheles from Rav Amram Chasida, and he bought after Rav Amram Chasida's ptira, he bought it Me'anshe Beisei, the Rav Amram Chasida's wife continued the business, and she was still selling tcheles, and tcheles, there's really no way to know whether you're buying real tcheles or whether you're buying kalayon. I mean, you're calling it tcheles, it was indigo, which is exact chemically, is the the same diet. So it was a real problem. So he comes to Rav Yosef to ask him, am I allowed to use this chalas? Lo havi biyada. He didn't know. Pogabe Chanan Chayata. So Chanan, the tailor, met him. And of course, it was part of his business. Oh, Malay, ah, come on, man, you went to ask Rav Yosef. Poor Yosef, he doesn't know anything about anything. Yosef Ani Aminole, where would he know anything? But I can tell you, if you come to me, I'll give you good information. I know of an actual case where I had to find out, and where the Zavinit Chilta Mi'anshi Debeitze, the Rav Noah, Achud Rav Chia Bar Abba. Now, I had the same mice that happened to me, and of course in business I had to use trailers a lot. I purchased some from the survivors in the home of Rav Noah, who was Rav Chia Bar Abba's brother. I came to Rav Masa to ask him, after realizing that maybe it's no longer in its chazaka, he didn't know. Lo avidiyade. So then I came to Rav Yudim Yagunya. Marli, and he said, aha, nafal talayad. Oh, you have fallen into my hand this time. Now you need me all of a sudden. Alright, well I'll tell you. Halchi Amar Shmuel, Eshet Chaver Avil Kechaver. The klal is, someone who is married to a chaver retains all of the dinim of chaverut until proven otherwise, even though her husband is no longer around.
What was
their chashash? The din is that the anshei beit say of a chaver don't need to be mekabel on chaverut. In other words, they're subsumed by his chaverut, but if he's no longer alive, so the shail is without the kabbalah of chaverut, we have a special chaverut, the gabit chelas. Can we be summit on it? Or do we say there's no longer a mat harav in the house, and therefore maybe we should be choshesh?
And this is a big finish of
Shmuel? Well, you bring it from the Tanur Rabbanan. Eshet Chaver Reu Kechaver. This is the Mokar. Avdo Shachaver HaReu Kechaver. Chaver Shemet Ishto Uvanav Uvnei Beito HaReim Becheskatan Ad Sheyechashedo. Until there's some reason to suspect them, we leave them on their cheskat of kashrut that they had, even though that was dependent on his own personal behavior. V'chein chatzer shemokrim batchelet harei becheskata ad shetipasel. And the same thing is true. We have a group of people who've been selling tchelet, and people have always checked that it's always been okay. But unless you have a reason to believe that suddenly they went down in their level of observance, then it's kosher until it's an ipsa. Well, I mean, theoretically, I mean, today we really don't rely on anybody giving his own hechsher for anything. So. But yes, of course, theoretically, a person has a chazaka of kashrus, even though he's making money off it. You don't need a much giyav or anything like that. So, Narabbana. Eshet Am Haaretz, Shenisei Pechaver. This is someone who had been married to an Am Haaretz who now gets married to a Chaver. Or a daughter of an Am Haaretz that now gets married to a Chaver. An Avdo Shal Am Haaretz, Shenim Karla Chaver. In these cases, we do not say Eshet Chaver Kechaver. In these cases, Kulam Tzrichim Lekabel Divrei Chaverut. We need a formal acceptance of Divrei Chaverut. And whether we're talking about Meiser or Tyrus or we're talking about Tchelas, as the case may be, and we don't say the very fact that she is now married to a Chover turns her into an Eshes Chover, because her entire anhaga up until this point has been to be Noeg as an Am Haaretz. Aval, Eshet Chaver Shenisait La'Am Haaretz. The other way around, when you have an Eshet Chaver who gets married to an Am Haaretz, or the daughter of a Chaver that gets married to an Am Haaretz, an Eved of a chaver that's nimkar la'am haaretz, then inan tzrichim lekabel divrei chaverut lechatchila divrei Rebbe Meir. They do not have to be mekabel divrei chaverut if, now there's a machlokas how to learn this issue, about are we talking about a remarriage, which is the way most learn. So she now goes and remarries a chaver. You don't say that the fact that she had been married, to contrast what we said before, that an eshet amaretz becomes an eshet, but an eshet an Eshet Am Haaretz who goes back to being an Eshet Chaver, we don't say that then she needs to now have the Kabbalah Chaver with Chaver. She goes back to previous Anoga. Was reviewed. Omer, they need a formal, even though they had always their whole life been noiga kaverut, but having had this hiatus in which they were acting otherwise, they require a new kabbalat kaverut. No, there is anyone who is a chaver can join with other chaverim to accept new chaverim. Chaverim. As originally Besdin, and then whoever is asserted to be a chaver was makabel in front of Besdin, can himself participate in such a Besdin to accept chaverus. So chaverim
for Yisrael.
No, it's not so funny. Chaverim for Yisrael actually does apply. We use that pasuk
right?
During the regal, exactly. During the regal, we say that's why that's the context. That there are times when we have to assume that Kol Yisrael are essentially chaverim. Because otherwise we'll have a total breakdown of the social order. So we're makel during the regal. I mean, there's also the assumption that people... Exactly. Well, there's also the assumption that people that are going up to the regal are going to the Beis HaMikdash are going to be more careful than they usually are.
Where is it mentioned? Where is the...
It's there
every
college. No, but is it...
Does
it come from some pasuk or
what? Sure, that's because we're quoting it, but that's exactly the pasuk that we darshan. And the chaverim kol yisrael beregel. Chen oya Reb Shimon ben Elazar omer maase b'isha achat sheniseit lechaver v'hayta kosheret lo tefillin shel tefillin al yado. And as Reb Shimon ben Elazar points out, it's all very nice to say that someone is married to a chaver, but I mean, it was a ma'aser, a woman who was married to a chaver, and she dedicated her life to serving him. And she would tie his tefillin on his hands. And when he died, she went and she married a mochez. Mochez is generally someone who illicitly takes the more than he should. For you know, he buys the rights to collect taxes, and then or methus fees, and then he takes more. And that's why normally we assume that a mochez is a goslin, you know. And despite the fact that he was a mofes, she married him. And instead of the tefillin, she used to tie on his hands the receipts in the mokam that tefillin too. You know, so it depends. It depends on the current relationships, basically. You can't assume that.
Is it custom for a woman to tie a tefillin for?
It's interesting, the whole Shiloh, would you be Yotze? Actually, what does it mean when it says Aisha Kosheret Lom? Doesn't he have to do the Maisek Shir himself? Yeah. A lot of discussion in the Yachronim with you. Exactly.
Question about believability of the Nimanus rather than about the ability and skill.
Yeah. Yeah, it isn't really a question of Nemanut, but it's a hanhoga that we accept it upon ourselves, that even though normally you have a right to say it, there's a chesed kashrus, but on something where there's so much rationalization, and so many people aren't makbid, so we were, you know, mechazik it with the concept of chaverut. And that's why the chaverim kol yisrael chaverim beregel has become the pasuk, so to speak. At the Beregel, there is a concept of Chaverus of Yisrael. Omar Rav, to remember what we have greater chashash on in terms of this Mishnah, your simon would be Chavit is Asur B'Kotemera. And of course, Chavit doesn't literally mean a barrel, it's a simon. And we'll see, it's a simon for Chalav, Basar, Yayin. And Chelet, as Gemara is about to explain. And Champag is Mutar B'Chotemecha. It's also a simen. So that to remember that the Cholov, the Basar, the Yain, and the Chelet are all Asurim B'Chotemecha. And the Chiltit, and the Murias, and the Pat, and the Gvina are Mutarim B'Chotemecha. So if you're talking about this question of this very sharp Chiltit, or the Murias, where you've got your problem of whether it was mixed with the Yayin Esach or not, pot and dvina. These things are not really very profitable for a goy to take the trouble of forging a chotam echad. If you're sending it, therefore, with an akum, the things that are very expensive and that are worthwhile for him to be mizayef, he would be mizayef. But things that are, you know, that are not so expensive, and he doesn't have much advantage in switching what you've got for something else, he's not going to take the trouble of even forging a single quota. Now, pot. Now, the truth is this word, the pot, lamai chayishle, and so on, Rashi takes out from here. And the reason is that nothing else is discussed except this pot, all of a sudden in the middle of nowhere. And he puts this later on. And so he says, okay, I mean, I understand that that's troubling him, that why the pot, why would we discuss pot more than anything else? But I don't see that that's a reason to necessarily switch around the order of the Gemara. I mean, you know, unless he had that in his years to Lechatchila, because it may be that we're just like shocked by it. And everything else I can understand, but pot, what would be the advantage of the goy's undoing a simon in order to get the pot? What does he want to like switch his dry bread for a fresh bread? I mean, so then you would immediately notice. And it's immediate. Everybody says if it's he wants a different type of bread, you've got wheat bread, he's got barley bread. I mean, also not immediate. How could he get away with such a thing? I mean, so what advantage would he have that we call should require any type of simen on it? And iki adade. I mean, if you're telling me it's bread, I mean, it's bekalal kivinika kotam echad. I mean, why would he go to any kirch at all? What, because it's slightly different quality or something? I mean, he's certainly not going to be toreach for that. He's going to be toreach for Messiah. Explain to me why, and the way Rav has it, as a maishna gvina, the lo tarachu Messiah. Cholov nami lo tarachu Messiah. Is there really a difference between the cheeses and the milk exactly? Omer Kahani, you're right. The milk doesn't make sense. If we're putting gvina in the champag, then why would we put the chalav in the chavis as a simon? I mean, the chalav is not different than the gvina. But let's take out chalav. Forget about the chalav, worrying about chalav akum. And the chet does not stand for chalav. The chet stands for chatichat dag she'en bo siman. It means a piece of fish that doesn't have the skin on it. Oh, but it said basar, that was the vait of the chavit, was meat. And this is meat. Well, what's the difference if it's fish meat or chicken meat or meat? I mean, it's all types of meat. Well, yeah, it is, but tre gavne basar. I mean, people refer to fish different ways.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I mean, you eat the meat of the fish and the skin of the fish. I mean, it's fine to call meat.
But were you, in terms of diet or thoughts?
Exactly the same.
We don't
eat meat together. Nah, that's just
sakana.
There's nothing to do with dietary laws.
No,
because they believe it was dangerous. There's no dietary laws. Okay, so Mimela, it just, okay, but since in fact people do refer to it separately, so Mimela, we list it separately, where Shmuel actually took out the set because of this from the Chavit. And he said, no, the simen is by it, not chavit. What do you need chet for? This is not halav, because why would that be different than gvina? And it's not dog. I mean, there's a difference between chatichat dog. So therefore, his simen was simply by it. By it, asur b'chotem echad. So he agreed with the others, but he just didn't see any need for the chet. And he also had machag, his mutar b'chotem echad. And that the bayit, referring to the basar, the yain and the tchelet, are sin b'chotem echad. And the machag, they had murias, chiltit, and vina, that are mutarim b'chotem echad. And lishmuel, chatichat dag, she'en basiman. I mean, what about that? Haino basar. What about that? That's me. Trei gavnei basar. What do we need two types of meat for? Lo amrina. Another simanim that they made is Ein Lokhim Yimach Machag Besuria, which stands for you don't buy from people's storekeepers in Chalab, you know, not wine, not Murias, and not milk, not Melach Salguntari, which we had mentioned earlier, we never explained, we're getting to that in this subject, Velo Chilkit Velo Gvina, Ela Munamumche, you'd have to buy it from somebody who was certified that you could rely on him. Now these guys wouldn't be very marked about selling you the wrong stuff. They wouldn't bring it into their own home. So Lamais, if you were eating in his house, you could rely that it was all okay. If a balabayit has these things, even though he's got a store that sells ones that maybe shouldn't be sold, the balabayit will shove a terev ochal isurav in his own home. He doesn't take the stuff that's usur. He takes the stuff that's mutar. But he mishager loy when he's sending something to a friend. Mimai the ochal mishager loy. He sends it not from his store. He sends it from the things that he has in his house. So there you can rely on that. What is this melech salgun tarit anyway? Amrav Yonah Shmuel. It's the melech shekol salkundari romi ochlimota. And this comes straight out of the Gilbert and Sullivan. Salkundari. And this was the, right? Well, the gondoliers.
which
offer is this? The gondoliers. So the salkundari are the bakers, the Roman bakers. And they have a particular type of salt that they have a fish mix in it, as we'll see in a minute. It's on a rabbanan, melach salkundarit, shechora asura levana muteret. Dark salt is osur, light salt is muter, did Rebbe Meir, Rebbe Yehuda omer levana asura shechora muteret, and Rebbe Yehuda ben Gamliel mishum Rebbe Chanina ben Gamliel mezu vezu asura. It doesn't matter what color it is. Now, the truth is that most of the Mefarshim hold that these aren't really machlokas in the din, they're machlokas in the minhagim at the time. That's what type of mixtures that they make with it. So, Omer Rebbe Yochanan, Divrei Omer Levana Asura. What he's saying is that Kirvei Dagim Levanim Tmeim Muravimba, and he's saying that it's mixed, the salt, to give it taste with a sort of the Kirvei. It's like a herring taste that they would put into the, they would use, and they would dip bread in it. And therefore, because it's not kosher fish, you'd have to be kosher, and you wouldn't use it. According to Man Yomar, holds that the shchora is usher because it's dark fish, and the divrei omer zuvazu asura, zevezem aravimbo, muravimbo. Omer Rabbi Avu, mishum Rabbi Chanina ben Gamliel, you know, we had, zakei nechanayev shkunateinu, now you guys think the only problem is that you've got fish mixed with it? There was an old man, a guy in our neighborhood, and he used to put over the salt lard, shuman chazir, and that, you know, so I don't know, maybe other problems associated with this kind of salt, but if it's a flavored salt, you got problems. Haray elu asur. Remember that we seem to repeat at the end of the Mishnah. I mean, we said there are asur, so what is this coming to add when we say haray elu asurim, as if to say, specifically, these are usher, but not what? So lemute mai. Well, v'chizkia, when we say to say that they're asurim ba'achila, but they're muter ba'anah, remember, chizkia shita was, is that if it's yadua, as we started today, if you know for a fact that you had the yayin, that, or the chomets, that was the chomets of yayin, then if he said it was usher afikul ba'anah, of course, Rabbi Yochanan argued on that, he said that if it's known, since you're not eating the actual preservative, but you're eating only, it still wouldn't be asurana. So according to him, it can't mean to be mamayat, the case where you know for a fact, and what according to him is it coming to be mamayat? Rabbi Yochanan, according to Rabbi Yochanan, it's coming to be mamayat murias and genus benuyat unaiki, but only, of course, according to Rabbi Meir. Because it's Rabbi Meir who said that murias is asurana'at, and who asked, you know, Beit Unaiki, he's Chayesh of Yehuta too. And therefore, stomach, Rebbe Meir, the end of the Mishnah, indeed is reasserting this is a Stam Mishnah, like a sheet of Rebbe Meir, and we had earlier. And I'm suggesting that we stop here so we don't get into all the new sugyas. Is that suitable? I totally forgot about that. Zokta Helika Mishnah. Now that we had decided that we're going a little bit further so that we can make up for the last day of Pesach, since we're going to find it hard to meet. The Elu Mutzari. So far we've discussed the Elu Asurim that are Asur Bahana'a, and the Elu Asurim Ba'akila, that are Mutar Bahana'a. And now we want to discuss Elu Mutarim, but even Ba'akila. There are certain things that are not an Isur, even though they may look on the surface like they touch on some of the issues we mentioned earlier. So we have chalav, shachalvo oveto chamin Yisrael lo ehu. Even though you don't have the Yisrael that's omed al gavo, you have the Yisrael that lo ehu, meaning he can see him, then that's perfectly okay. Hadvash, v'hadav devnuyot, apapishin natfim, hadav devnuyot are dripping, we have the clusters of grapes, which you might think are actual, still already have a dinner of wine. Avapishanatfim, they don't. And they, furthermore, in Ben Mishumashkeh Mashkeh, they're not considered to be Jews at this point either. And Kivashim, also, if you have the type of mixtures to make pickles, various types of pickling, of the type She'en Darkan Lotet Tochan Yain B'chometz, if the norm is not to mix them because of taste, because of Yain B'chometz, or the tiris that we had before, tiris trufa was usher because you can't tell whether there was a trefa fix that's mixed in it. But if it's ena trufa, then it certainly is kosher. Tzir shiyesh ba daga, and if you have tzir dagim that has the kilbit in it, and we said the kilbit, again, that was a machlokas, whether it's a simen bialma that they put into it to indicate professionally that it comes from kosher fish, or it's actually a type of fish that grows in the brine of, and that's what's provided, but it won't grow, says Rashi, it won't grow in the brine of an unkosher fish. Allah shel filtit, as opposed to the actual koret of filtit, a leaf from a filtit is not a problem. Zeke galus ka'ot hamagul galim. And if you have the olives that they would put into these round containers, they would get very hot there from the slow combustion, and they became then basically locked into a cake of olives, and those are also kosher, which seems to be obvious. Anybody's going to ask, why wouldn't they be anyway? But whatever the problem is, you should know there's no problem. Rabbi Yossi Omer, Hashalafim Asurim. Now, we're talking about over here the type of Zeitin that we were talking about before. The Shalafim are Asurim, which we'll see what that refers to in the Gemara. And Chagavim Habaim Min Haslula. If you have in a store, you have a display of these beautiful grasshoppers for sale, you know, and the kids pick them up and eat them, you know, their nickel apiece and so on. And the way you keep them fresh is you sprinkle wine on them. So if they're on display, then you've got a problem. Because the wine, of course, we have to be kosher shan. And therefore, you can't eat it if it's on display. But you can, if the guy goes into the back and takes it out of the storeroom from the barrel, so I mean, I have tech. If you're taking it out of the storage, then mutarim, they're not mixed earlier. They're only sprinkled with wine when he's got them on display. The same with truma. And the same thing is with truma. So, all right, there's a lot that this Mishnah leaves here unclear. So let's go through each piece now. Says the Gemara, first of all, from the Mishnah, we see Tanina Lahavitana Rabbana. You see what we learned in a Braisa is now implied in this Mishnah, where it says, Yoshev Yisrael Besaded Rosh Lavikol Chavi. That a Jew could be standing at the side of a whole herd of where it belonged to a goy, and the goy is sitting there, and he's milking, and he's cholev lo, and maybe lo veinu chashesh, and he now brings it to the Jew, and the Jew can drink that milk; he doesn't have to worry. Well, what's the case? If he dummy, he leka davar tamei bedro. I mean, if he sees right in front of him that there's nothing there that would be tamei, and what else would he be milking? Pshita, and obviously there's no problem. The ideika dvar tamei bedro. On the other hand, if there was an unkosher animal mixed, how does he know? I mean, it says that he's just betzad edro. So am I? It says the Gemara, liolam deika dvar tamei. It's talking about that there are in fact non-kosher animals. The Jew does not see the animals right now. Nonetheless, if he stands up, he sees them. If he sits down, he doesn't see them. So the point over here is that you might have thought that if he doesn't actually see what's going on, you have to be chashish that maybe it would be mixed. Therefore, it comes to teach us that when it says of Rabbi Yisroel Ro'ehu, Yisroel Ro'ehu does not mean that the Yisroel is currently looking at him, because then it would say Omeid Al Gabav. He's not Omeid Al Gabav. So what it means, therefore, is essentially a remnant of this price. A Yisroel could see him. And the very fact that he could see him is sufficient to be sumach on in terms of making it call of Yisroel. Dvash? My neighbor said, what in the world would be the chashash of dvash? I mean, you certainly wouldn't put anything in, would you? I mean, are we afraid? What are you going to put? Are you going to put in wine into dvash? That would kill the dvash. Imishum bishalakum. And what's the problem? Maybe like he boiled up this dvash. I mean, we said that anything that can be eaten without boiling, it doesn't matter if you do boil it. So it's nechal kamosha huchai, and that's not a problem either. Imishum giule akum, it's not same time with gum. So maybe these are the things that the Mishnah wants to teach us. In other words, there's no chashash at all when it comes to dvash, whether in terms of taruvas, whether it's in terms of bishul akum, or whether it's in terms of giule akum, because we already learned that we can assume that stam kelim are not considered to be b'nei yoma.
That would apply to fruit flavored, or fruit flavored honey, like a lemon flavor.
What is dvash we're speaking about?
We're talking about dvash and horim. Yeah.
Because they do that to honey these days.
I thought that was just what the bees got their pollen from.
They actually flavor honey?
But they just modify those flavored honey.
Real food. Put another external flavor.
It actually tastes good.
Yeah.
Really? Okay.
The Barnier's got a whole collection of different things.
Hadav dav New York, apapisha minat fot. Even though they're still dripping, ein behem mishum hechsher mashke. They're not considered to be a mashke at this point. Ramini habotzer legat. Somebody who is picking now clusters in order to bring them to a wine press. And now the question is, what's the din of the current dampness that's on them? Shammai Omer Hukshar. Shammai says that whatever dripped on them at this point, at the time that you pick them, so is considered to be a mashke, and that would be yayin, and it's going to be makshir then to be makabel tuma. So if the guy anyway is plans on using it, why isn't that real mashke? So it's hukshar makabel tuma. And Hillel Omer lo hukshar, and in the end Hillel was murdered to Shammai. Now what is the difference between dav davnu yod and the case of Hillel v'Shammai? What do you mean? It's a major difference. That's a completely lamashka. The case in our Mishnah is talking about when you're picking grapes to eat. You know, they're talking about when you're picking grapes to take to the gut. It says beferush abotzer legat. You don't call them davdav miyot in that case. So davdav miyot means that they're very ripe grapes that you intend to eat. Now they're dripping. So now we say, why would he be nice the way that the grapes should be sticky and wettish? And therefore, it's not considered to be a mashka that's nice for Tiri she'ena trufa. A zohi tiri she'ena trufa. When we say that the Mishnah is makshir Peter Chain are true, but it doesn't mean that you can't see anything. You have to have the entire fridge. It's called Shirosh Vishidra Nikar. It's as long as I can see what it is that I've got, every single fish there, I can see whether they are Tamei and Tahor. And because there's a different shape to the head, and of course if I can see that it's got vertebrae, and I know that it's, and that this particular fish, if it has a spine, is considered to be the one that is kosher. And when you say Tzir Shigesh Badaga, that I would be kosher, kosher kilbit achat or shtei kilbiyot. These are these little fish that grow only in, according to Rashi, only in the brine that comes from kosher fish, and they won't grow in other brine. Again, other Rishonim say this sounds awfully far-fetched, and they learn that it's a fish that's put in to the mixture in order to make it clear what the mixture was from. And that's a professional. We have the klal that a mumcha is not meiria his mumchiyut. So he wouldn't say something that can then be discovered not to be the case. So if you have these kilbiyot that are shirtotos bo, why do I need two? Hashta kilbit achat amichar. You said one or two. I mean, that's a little bit silly. I mean, obviously, if you say one, I know two. So you say, just say it doesn't have a kilbit. So shtei kilbiyot b'boy. What's the purpose? Lokash. Kan b'petuchot, kan b'stumot. If you're talking about open barrels, then it doesn't help to have one. Because you never can tell if one maybe fell in, it wasn't misgada, but if you got two, then it certainly looks like they've been growing in the mixture. If it's a closed barrel, and now you open it up and it's in there, then we have to assume that it was misgada there, it was misgada there, or if it was put there by the professional, depending on which guy you say, then you can be samech on it. Itmar Ravunama, Achte Rosh Vishidra. You need to have both Rosh and the Shidra and the carrot. And Rav Nachum Nomar, O Rosh, O Shidra. You could have either one. Now, this whole thing is very strange, and we think we'll get into this tomorrow. Because whoever heard of the Rosh, really, and the Shidra having anything to do with the Simonim of Dagim? And this whole Gemara that we're about to have, it raises a lot of questions as to whether we're talking about specific fish, are we talking about a species that could be mixed, maybe a mistaken with the seal teeth, and that happens to be that we recognize with the Rosh Nishimra. Or is there maybe some simon of dog that we never heard of, and there's the shape of a Rosh, or there's the fact that there's a Shidra. This is a major source of contention, and we will, Bezrat Hashem, get to it tomorrow.